Who do you love? Matthew 6, 1 through 18. That's what we're looking at tonight. And the question is, who do you love? A few years ago, a reporter wrote about how he was invited to the home of an ostentatiously wealthy man who delivered a rousing soliloquy followed by an ear-to-ear self-congratulatory smile about his upcoming announcement to give away the bulk of his billions to charity. And as I read the article, I asked myself, where was this man's love? Was it for the people he would be helping or for the praise he was getting for helping those people? He might have done well to heed Holden Caulfield from The Catcher in the Rye. If you do something good, then after a while, if you don't watch it, you start showing off, and then you're not as good anymore. Giving, praying, and fasting are meant to bear fruit in love toward others. This is obvious for giving because it meets the need of another. And our prayer can lift before God the need of another. But even the personal transformation that comes from these three is ultimately meant for others. When we become charitable and prayerful, our lives become salt to preserve another. When we are transformed by fasting and by other spiritual disciplines, we become light for another. In the end, giving, praying, and fasting are meant to make us better lovers. But how easily we take this fruit meant for others and use it to feed ourselves, so that what are meant to be works of righteousness, works that ultimately restore and mend our neighbor, become means of self-exaltation and self-love. In Jesus' day, people made a show of love for others, but behind the performance was a heart consumed with itself. And it's the very same for our day. Even in non-religious settings, virtue signaling is the modern-day version of showcasing our charity, praying on the street corner, and fasting to be seen. We ensure that others see clearly our support for the right policies, praise us publicly for proclaiming aloud all the bona fides of secular piety, and honor us because we can hunger strike for a cause. And isn't it amazing that these three staples of practicing righteousness are still instinctively felt by all? But we give into the same self-love through our own virtue signaling, we as Christians. And what are the pressures that we face as Christians? Not only to do justice, but to ensure that others see our concrete heart for the poor. Not only to pray, but to give the impression that our prayers are frequent and fervent and comprehensive. Not only to fast and practice spiritual disciplines, but to drop hints about it so that others would think us devout. We do this because we have a look-at-me instinct that when fed, fills us up. We want to be noticed. We are actually designed to want to be noticed. That's an important point to remember. We are designed to want to be noticed. Daddy, watch me. Watch me, Daddy. And when people see us and praise us, it is a profoundly pleasant reward. But seeking the reward of others makes us actors on a dangerous stage where the audience is foolish and fickle, and it betrays our defective love, that we are center stage. The praise of men is the praise of fools, because we're actually terrible arbiters of virtue. 60 years ago, you might have been praised for giving only to whites, and today you might be praised for giving to the slaughter of helpless innocents. To give well in the eyes of fools is not always to give well in the wise sight of God. And the praise of men is the praise of the fickle. I know some of you on both sides of the political aisle who have been ostracized because your politics said Sibboleth when every intelligent, godly person knows it's pronounced Shibboleth. And people are eager to sniff for blood in your words. You speak well and they'll praise you. You misspeak and they will eat you alive. And seeking the praise of men betrays a defective love. The show is called Me, and the star is me. I am generous. Praise me. I speak with all the right piety. Praise me. I practice all the right disciplines. Praise me. And the other is pushed off stage, and God isn't even invited to the show. And at first, the acclaim of all those eyes is full. It's intoxicating. But in the end, this public theater of appearance is a performance that will drain us and leave us empty. But Jesus invites us not to a performance. Not to a performance, but to the freedom of a father's family. A father. A father who delights to reward. Who is an eager audience. And who can redirect our love. Our Father delights to reward. Verse 4, verse 6, verse 18. Your Father will reward you. Dispel from your mind the notion that God only begrudgingly rewards. Some of us have a mind that God approaches our works and he gives a sniff. He smells imperfection and he just turns up his nose. But we are children. We are children by grace of a father. A father. Fathers are quite easy to please and eager to say, well done. Just last night, we had some longtime friends over from out of town, and their little 14-month-old son accomplished the amazing feat of climbing down from the couch all by his big boy self. And this was met with mom and dad's immediate praise. Wow, good job, well done. And this praise of well done is a good reward to seek from our Father. I said before that we're actually designed for the theater. We want to be noticed and praised. And that this is a good thing. So how is it that seeking the reward of God isn't the same trap as the selfish love that seeking the reward of men is? Because of this, you will conform yourself to the image of the one whose praise you seek. You will conform yourself to the image of the one whose praise you seek. If you seek the praise of men, you will be further conformed to the nature of men. This plague of self-seeking. And if you seek the praise of God, you will be further conformed to the one who perpetually gives himself away. To Jesus, who for all his giving of himself in healing, said, shh, keep quiet about it. Who gave himself to prayer and to fasting so that he would be prepared to be a savior for us. As George MacDonald wrote, the doer of right grows better and humbler and comes nearer to God's heart as nearer to his likeness and grows more capable of God's own blessedness. Man's praise is, you look like us. And God's praise is, you're starting to look like me. To seek the reward of God is to want to be like the wise, the good, the self-emptying God. So seek the reward of God's praise. He is, after all, a father who is an eager audience. He doesn't need any fanfare from you for you to get his attention. And that's very different from people. After all, he is there, even in the secret place. And that our Father is an eager audience comes out especially in Jesus' words about prayer in verse 7. It doesn't take the fanfare of many words to get his attention. I need to spend X amount of time praising God before he will hear my requests. I need to switch gears and get my heart right before he'll hear me. I've just been away from him for so long, I need to think about what I need to say first. Does that sound familiar to you? But no, we just say Father. There's no formulaic fanfare that's needed. Just Father. Plus, God already knows what you need. You need his will. You need his provision. You need his forgiveness. You need his protection. You need the grace to extend to others what God has extended to you. And that's, in short, what the Lord's Prayer and these words about extending forgiveness in verse 14 are all about. And even a simple groan, a simple phrase, can communicate all of that to God. Abba Isaac, one of the Desert Fathers, he was asked about how he prayed when he didn't know how to pray. And he echoed the words of Psalm 70, verse 1. O God, make speed to save me. O Lord, make haste to help me. That's all you need. And what freedom it is to know that God can read between the lines. And he doesn't need our clumsy words. He doesn't need an intelligence briefing before he will hear us and answer us. So as Luther said, let your prayer be brief, frequent, and intense. And there's no contradiction between Jesus' words here and the exhortation to pray to God again and again and again. Remove from prayer much speaking, not much praying, said Augustine. No fanfare of words. Your Father already knows. He is an eager audience. And our Father can redirect our love. Can redirect our love. John Chrysostom wrote this: the contempt of men's praise is no small fruit. For by the contempt of men's praise, we are freed from the heavy slavery of human opinion. As another writer says, Jesus wants to liberate us from having to be impressive to anyone, and even ourselves. He wants to free us from feeling like we have to be on stage. Look how salty I am. Look how bright I am. He wants to free us from that into the genuine love of actually preserving and lighting the way for our neighbor. As Jay said a couple weeks ago, the love our neighbor needs is for us to actually be salt and light, not to showcase that we are salt and light, not to showcase our saltiness and brightness. Our neighbor needs our gift, not the knowledge that we give. Not the hints of how and how much we pray, not our many sermons disguised as prayers, but our prayer itself and the fruit of lives transformed by intimate prayer with the Father. And our neighbor needs the fruit of our fasting. Fasting is not an attention getter for God. We've already talked about God's attention, but fasting does help us to give our attention to God. Oh God, just as I feel these hunger pains and this headache, so may I ache for you. And fasting disciplines our will. God, as I say no, even to something good, give me the strength to say no to all evil. This is the sort of salt and light that will take you off the stage of performance and transform you into a lover of your neighbor, into one whose practice of righteousness mends and restores. And it doesn't become a badge of boasting. This is a gracious freedom that Jesus invites us to. Freedom. It's away from the enslaving love of men's praise into the freedom of a Father who is eager to see, he is eager to reward, and who will make us into great lovers like himself. So step off of that stage you've been performing on, that you feel compelled to perform on, and give and pray and fast in the secret place. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your grace to us. Please transform us by your Spirit as we look to your Son, Jesus. Transform us into those who are salt and light, who love our neighbor, because you so graciously loved us. We pray these things in Christ's name. Amen.